the Lord is doing some amazing things, and He's in the midst of us, walking in the midst of us, dancing in the midst of us, singing in the midst of His people.
Amen.
So, I want to share a message. Last time I was talking, about a month ago, I was discussing the subject of how to maintain a strong spirit, how to get a strong spirit, man, how to maintain a strong spirit. And one of the ways of doing that, of course, is meditation in the Word of God. Another way is becoming a doer of the Word. A lot of people know about the Word, get excited about the Word, but don't do it. If you don't believe me, ask anybody if they're holding any grudges against anybody. Oh, I thought you were a doer of the Word. Well, you just don't understand what they did to me, brother. Well, you know, that's not being a doer of the Word. He also says, take no anxious thought about anything, but cast all your care unto Him. Are you worried today? I'm just worried sick about this, brother. Well, you're not a doer of the Word then. All righty, we can go home now. Praise God. That's a good word right there. Because it got real quiet. So the third way I mentioned was praying in the Spirit, or praying with the Spirit, which really means praying in other tongues. For people who are not familiar with that scripture, praying with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, means praying in other tongues. The Bible says that he who prays, I'm just giving you a review. The Bible says he who prays with tongues edifies himself. He that speaks with another tongue edifies himself. And it also says that, it refreshes. So we refresh ourselves when we pray in tongues. And, we can hear from God better when we're praying in tongues. Our spirit prays. A lot of things go on, and we talk about that sometimes, you know, about the benefits of praying in other tongues. And if you're a tongue talker, you ought to do it at least 30 minutes to an hour every day. I remember back in the old days, they used to say, you know, when you get the gift of tongues, you need to practice your gift. And I'm thinking, well, I just don't particularly like practice. That seems like you're getting ready to do a recital or something, you know, and you need to practice it. So, but what they mean by that is you need to exercise that every day. And I know a lot of spirit-filled people who have been spirit-filled for years and years, but rarely ever pray in tongues, rarely ever spend time for that. But God gave us that for a reason. And so on that note, I want to share a few minutes on a subject you rarely hear anybody talk about. In fact, in the 39 years that I've been a Christian, I've heard one teaching on the subject, and that was back in 1980. I'm sure people teach on it, but I just haven't been around places where they're teaching on it. But that's a pretty long time. And, of course, I'm talking about the subject of speaking with other tongues, or what is referred to as the gift of tongues, sometimes referred to as the baptism with the Spirit or of the Spirit. I prefer the term filled with the Spirit. I think that's really more accurate, but both are used in the Scripture. It said, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. It said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, it said. And so I like that terminology, filled with the Spirit, but it's also synonymous with speaking with other tongues. Okay, we got that part straight. So the English word for the phenomenon is glossolalia. Anybody ever heard that word, glossolalia? G-L-O-S-S-A-L-L. I don't know how to spell it. G-L-O-S-S-O-L-A-L-I-A, glossolalia. And some people have said if you say that real fast 10 times, you'll be speaking in tongues. Anyway, I don't know if I could say it fast 10 times. And so, when I first got saved back in 1979, I became what would be referred to as a chronic seeker of the baptism. Because I was prayed for by some people in a totally mass confusion prayer. And I didn't receive anything, but I really wanted that gift. And so I began to seek it and pursue it and go after it and study it and talk to people about it and, you know, go to different churches who spoke with other tongues. I wanted to find out about this, and I wanted to step into it. But in the process of doing that, I ran into every roadblock that's out there. And there are numerous roadblocks out there among people. And I ran into all of them. But once somebody taught me the truth from the Bible about it, one short teaching from the Bible that gave me the truth about it, I immediately stepped into it. Nobody laid hands on me. Nobody prayed over me. Nobody did anything. I was just sitting there, and I just began to speak with tongues. I got past the roadblocks. And that's what I want to share about today, the roadblocks that are set up by the devil through religious tradition to prevent believers from receiving the gift of tongues. Amen. I never hear a message on this. I don't know if y'all hear messages on it. I never hear a message on this. Maybe it's because most of us in here speak with tongues already, so we don't see a need to do that. I understand that. But we talk a lot about praying in tongues, how it refreshes and edifies the spirit man. We talk about how we're able to pray at a level above our understanding, which is true. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, we've got to be able to ask above what we can think to do that. I read a caption on a calendar that Jenny had in her room the other day, the January calendar page. And the caption, big caption across the front of it said, if you pray in the Spirit long enough, you can get answers for anything you need. And my spirit bore witness to that because I know how God has used that in my own life. But this person said, if you pray in the Spirit long enough, you can get answers for anything you need. And I believe that to be true. But the problem is none of the benefits I just mentioned will help any of us in the slightest manner if we don't first have the gift of tongues. Amen? I mean, you can't benefit from the gift if you don't have it, right? It's impossible. Without the gift, the benefits don't help anybody. So I want to talk about roadblocks to speaking in tongues. Now, okay, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures just to give a foundation, some foundational texts. Scriptures most people are familiar with, but let's read them in Acts chapter 2. We're going to read through verse 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to say one thing about that before we move on. A lot of people have referred to that as a Dead Sea experience. You know, back in the times when, you know, things were really going on, the church was just getting formed. If you seek that gift, the gift of tongues or the baptism in the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, you are not likely to hear a rushing mighty wind from heaven. Because, see, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. And said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. See, he promised he was going to send the Holy Spirit. Well, that was the day he sent the Holy Spirit into the earth. And it was with the sound of a rushing mighty wind. What's a rushing mighty wind? Think of a hurricane or a tornado. And tongues of fire set on each of their heads. Now, that's not likely going to happen to you. I mean, I haven't heard of anybody who had it happen to them that way. Yet it's scriptural. It was the day of Pentecost, the day God sent the Spirit into the earth. He sent the promise of the Father. And that's probably not going to happen again. So now that he's here, we don't have to do, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. And we don't have to tarry because they tarried till he came. Now he's come. So anyway, just a couple of words about that. And in verse 38 of Acts 2, the same chapter we're in, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I don't know if I refer to this scripture later, but notice here that said, you shall believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the only criteria. Now, we later on put criteria, other criteria on it. You know, you got to do this, you got to do that. He says, get the remission of sins and you'll receive the Holy Ghost. Who shall receive even as many as the Lord our God shall call? Well, I don't think it's for me. Well, did God call you? Amen. Okay, so I'm just kind of getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. So I want to give you a little thing about my own experience. I'm moving kind of fast. I hope I'm not talking too fast because Jenny and I have a funeral service to go to this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Roanoke. So we're trying to, you know, move along and make sure we have time to get there. And so if I'm talking too fast, let me know. If I'm talking fast, you can't understand me. I got saved in a Baptist church in May of 1979. And not to go into all the story behind that, but I had a great born-again experience in the Baptist church. I mean, I was saved. Man, I loved being saved. I loved being in the Baptist church. I sang in the choir. It was so much fun, you know. I loved the Lord. Tremendous. I knew something had happened in my life. But in September of that year, I visited a charismatic church called Martinsville Christian Fellowship, which many years later became Wellspring Fellowship, and here we are. Anyway, I experienced Spirit-filled worship, prophecy, and I heard people speaking in other tongues. I mean, they had some amazing meetings back in those days. They were wild. Anyway, it was somewhat strange to me, but for some reason I liked it. Didn't know if I wanted to get that close to God, but I liked it. Something in me liked it. And the pastor at that time, David Hundley, asked me that day when I was there if I wanted to be prayed for to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I guess so. What's that, you know? So everybody gathered around me, began to pray in tongues. Everybody, just the whole church. And then some people told me to hold on. Some people told me to let go. Some told me to lift my hands. Some said, put your hands down. Some said, praise the Lord. Some said, speak in a language you don't know. Oh, okay, how do I do that? Bonjour. I don't know that language for sure. Como está usted? I don't know that one either. But anyway, Janine was probably in that meeting. I'm sure she was. You, when I first came there? Is that right? Praise God. Walked down the steps into the basement, and everybody, yeah, caramba. It was, and I said, man, I loved it. I sat down on the steps and wept. It was just so beautiful. I never heard anything like Spirit-filled worship. It was just so heavenly, you know. And so anyway, I was confused. It was basically mass confusion. That's a mistake we make a lot of times, gathering around somebody. You want to receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Speak a tongue. Yeah, caramba. And people don't know what's going on. We're ministering confusion a lot of times in that. And so people end up walking away and say, well, I don't get that. You know, people mean well, and everybody's got a different story, and everybody's got different ideas. And like somebody said, though, everybody who says they're charismatic are not charismatic. Some of them are crazy-matic. You'll find that to be the truth. I remember one guy back in those days gave me a tape of himself speaking in tongues for about an hour. And he said, take this home, see if you can get an interpretation. I didn't speak in tongues. How was I going to get an interpretation? But anyway, we were, what's that? We were all young and dumb back in those days. But anyway, nobody ever took the time to explain anything to me about the gift of tongues. I figured, well, maybe something's wrong with me. I don't know. So I became a chronic seeker. I talked with people about it. I visited different churches. I don't know if you've ever been to some of the really, really Pentecostal churches. They can get wild, you know, sometimes. And I visited some of those, and people said the Holy Ghost fell on that person. They're on the floor shaking and screaming. And I'm thinking, is that what falling on the Holy Ghost falling on you is? I don't know if I want that or not. Is that what it is? Anyway, so I ran into every roadblock and misunderstanding about it that's out there. But in June of 1980, I got that teaching from the Bible about it. And I immediately stepped right into it. And so these things rob us. These roadblocks, they rob lots of people. I think everybody comes into that point in their new experience with Christ about going on in some deeper things in God. But somewhere along the line, somebody says this or somebody says that. Next thing you know, I think I'm backing off from that. Let's look at some of the roadblocks. The first roadblock, tongues are of the devil. I don't know if nobody's ever heard that one. That was one of the first roadblocks I ran into. You got to watch out for that tongues business. It's of the devil. But I already knew people who spoke with tongues, who lived good, clean lives, who loved the Lord, who worshiped passionately. And I couldn't quite understand that. Well, if it's of the devil, how does it make you love the Lord more and live a cleaner life? You know, I never saw something come from the devil that would improve you. You know, I didn't see it in the bars when I was playing up and down the East Coast in bars. Never saw anybody speak with tongues. I knew the devil was there, though. Yeah. So I began to search the Word. Lo and behold, I couldn't find one place in the Bible where anyone ever spoke with tongues as the result of the influence of the devil. Amen. I haven't found that yet. It's been almost 40 years ago. It was always in the Bible the result of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Never did the devil come along and get somebody to speak with tongues. Well, I said, well, okay, that doesn't seem to be a scriptural thing. But I heard the stories, and you've probably all heard them, about somebody was in a meeting and they heard somebody praying in tongues or speaking in tongues, and they recognized that it was a certain language and these people were cursing God in the meeting. Ooh, that's scary. But I couldn't find any place in the Bible where the devil ever did that. Somebody had a story about it, but I never, not in the King James Version anyway. Now, maybe some of the newer versions, but anyway, you would think that if tongues was of the devil, then the Bible would have some example or some record of the devil speaking with tongues. I don't know of any. Maybe you do. So then, where did this idea come from that tongues are of the devil? Well, it came from somebody who had no firsthand knowledge of the subject of speaking in tongues. I'm pretty sure they themselves didn't speak with tongues. You might say it was a theory. I believe that's probably of the devil. Well, do you know what the definition of a theory is? A theory is a supposition based on ignorance of the subject at hand. A supposition based on ignorance of the subject at hand. You can make a theory about anything you don't know anything about. So, if you don't understand it, you can say anything you want to about it. And so, but there's a scripture in Proverbs 18:13 that says, "He that answereth a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." So if you have no firsthand knowledge of a matter, then you're a fool to try to talk about it. Amen. That's what the Bible says. You know, so people try to talk about something they have no knowledge of, no firsthand knowledge. Well, do you speak with tongues? No. Well, how do you know it's of the devil? Well, I don't know. Why don't you speak with tongues and then tell me if it's of the devil after you do it? All right, anyway, that's the first roadblock. Number two, don't pray for the gift of tongues. You might get a devil. And Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 11. If a son shall ask, in verse 1, or 11:11, Luke 11:11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. So if we ask for a fish, our heavenly Father's not going to give us a snake. No one who asks for the Holy Spirit will get a devil instead. I've never known it to happen. It's a great story. It's really scary. It'll really scare people, and that's what it's designed to do. So, it's totally and utterly unscriptural. It never happened anywhere in the Bible. Oh, but brother, I've heard the stories. I've heard some stories, brother. Well, anybody can make up a story. Anybody watch mainstream media? I'm just kidding. Anybody can make up a story and say anything, and it sounds true and convincing. But it doesn't have any basis in reality. So, we need to always let the Word of God be our plumb line. We need to let the Word, not religious ideas and notions of men. Tongues are not of the devil, and if you pray for the gift of tongues, you will not get a devil. That's not scriptural whatsoever. Roadblock 3. If God wants me to have the gift of tongues, I'm open to it. He can give it to me. Oh boy, here we go. The pastor I had in the Baptist church back in 1979 was a... If anybody I've known is a man of God, he was a man of God. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But I was talking with him about the subject, and he said, well, it's in the Bible. I believe it's scriptural. And if God ever wants me to have it, I'm open. He can give it to me. The only problem, you'll never get it that way. You will never get it that way. He gives us what we desire. It says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen. You see, we can't be ho-hum about the things of God. Either we want it or we don't. We ask and we receive. You don't accidentally receive it. God will never put it on you. The Holy Spirit will never force Himself on anybody. He's a perfect gentleman. Amen. I guess that's enough about that one. But anyway, roadblock 4. If you're born again, you have all the Spirit you're ever going to need. Okay, here we go. And you do not need a second experience. I'm just telling you what the roadblock is. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what the roadblock is. People say if you're born again, you have all the spirit you're ever going to need. You don't need a second experience. So the question is, do we receive the Holy Spirit when we're saved? Oh, we need to unravel this a little bit. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father." Verse 16, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So every born-again believer has the witness of the Spirit within them, bearing witness with their spirit that they are a child of God. It takes the Holy Spirit to do that. Verse 9 of Romans 8, verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his." If any man has not the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to Christ. So if you've been born again and belong to the Lord, you have the Spirit of God in that dimension. "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord," the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17. "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Our spirit is joined with the Spirit of God by the new birth. But yet there is a second experience of the Spirit by which we speak with other tongues. It's a deeper dimension of the same Spirit we receive when we're born again. It's a deeper dimension. I know that after I received that, it was about a year for me before I was able to finally receive that. I noticed there was a deeper dimension. I could suddenly see things in the Scripture I couldn't see before. I remember looking at the story of Stephen being martyred. Remember, he preached a long message to the Pharisees and then they stoned him to death. But I looked at that message and I said, this Stephen, I'd always put him up on a pedestal like a great man that none of us could ever aspire to be. But after I received the Spirit, that dimension of the Spirit, and He is the Spirit of truth, by the way. If you get a greater measure of Him, you're going to understand truth better. But I saw Stephen, I was reading that story, I said, man, he was just an ordinary guy who had a teaching gift. Because he had a tremendous message he taught. He just rattled it out there, man, about two or three or four chapters or a couple of chapters. And I said, you know, that's just an ordinary guy like us, but the Lord has gifted him with a teaching gift. Okay, I'm getting off on a sidetrack, but anyway. I'm saying I saw that. That dawned on me afterwards. So, anyway, I told you I was born again in a Baptist church, tremendous born-again experience. I knew I was a child of God. Why did I know I was a child of God when I was born again? Because the Spirit bore witness with my spirit. I had no question about it. Yes, sir, I'm saved. Yes, sir, I'm a child. Anybody here a child of God? Well, how the heck do you know that? His Spirit bears witness with my spirit. But I spoke with tongues much later. But I recognized that the Spirit by which I spoke with tongues was the very same Spirit I was born again by. The very same Spirit I was already acquainted with. I didn't get a different Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. You don't get a different one when you receive the infilling. And I like that word infilling because, see, the Spirit of God is there. The Spirit of God is within every believer, but yet not everyone is always filled with the Spirit. There are times when you're filled, like in worship, you just, oh, God, I love you. You know, it's just, you're just filled with that something that makes it just so wonderful. And that doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally. But there are many infillings. I believe the baptism, what we call the baptism in the Spirit, or the infilling of the Spirit, is the first time you're really filled full to overflowing. You'll see it in the Scripture. It said that, and Zechariah, was John the Baptist's father's name, Zechariah? Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak. He began to overflow prophetically. He began to speak a word about who this child was going to be and so forth. So he was filled, he was inspired and prompted by the Holy Ghost. It's just a little bit different dimension, that's all. It's a different dimension of the same Spirit who's already in us. So anyway, here's the story about noticing the difference in my perception. I'm just kind of rambling here. Okay. All right, let's go to Acts 8, 12. Acts 8, 12. I'm trying to watch the clock as we go. But when they believed Philip preaching, Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel. And when they, the people of Samaria, believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they believed and they were baptized. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Acts 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might be born again. Oh, wait a minute. Is that right? I'm not even sure we're in the same place. Now, they didn't pray that they'd be born again. That they might be saved. No, I didn't say that either. They came down and prayed for them that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they had already done that. They were already saved. They were already born again. They had already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It said when they heard that the people of Samaria had received the word of God, they had received that. So they were born of God. And it says in verse 16, as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. These Samaritans were already saved. Had they received the Holy Ghost when they believed? Yes. The Spirit had already borne witness with their spirit that they were children of God. That's why the city was full of joy. The Spirit was at work in their lives, but yet there was still a second experience. And again, I like to call it the infilling of the Spirit. You know, and of course, now the Bible does say they received the Holy Ghost. So, you know, it's a little fuzzy there. But I believe infilling is a better way to look at it. Sometimes we're filled to overflowing. But anyway, they had already received the Holy Spirit with the witness of the Spirit that they're children of God. The Spirit of adoption cries, Abba, Father. But yet there was a second experience. This is one of the best places in the Bible that confirms there's a second experience beyond salvation. Is Acts chapter 8. And I'd like to get into a couple of things here about that. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to say it right now, just off the cuff. When it said that they went down, that they might receive the Holy Ghost, that word receive is actually the word that means to seize upon, to take hold of, to claim as one's own. In that scripture which says, Jesus said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you take them. Believe that you lay hold of them. Believe that you take them as your own, and you shall have them. It's not a passive thing. It's not passive at all. Amen. It's active. It's active. I'm getting all over the place here, so just forgive me. But that scripture in Matthew 11, I don't know if I have it or even pulled it out for this, but And that is that Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. And that word violent is not an evil word. We think of that as evil. Violence is evil. No, what it means there is the strong and forceful. And violence means the administration of force. That's what violence means in the Bible. And those who are strong and forceful take the kingdom. The Bible says Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not, in John chapter 1. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the children of God, to become the sons of God. And the thing is, he gave us authority, those who believed, and that authority allowed us to become sons of God. The first act of authority we ever performed was becoming born again. The first act of authority gave us our sonship. We took our sonship when we believed on Jesus. We took it. A lot of people are out there that don't have it because they never took it. A lot of people have been invited to the table, but so few have come. But see, we took that. And when he said they had not received, for as yet they had not received, that they might receive, that they might take hold of, may lay hold of, for as yet he was fallen on none of them. And if you look up the word fallen, it means to come upon, to fall upon, to fall into one's embrace. That's one of the meanings of it, to fall into one's embrace. He had not yet fallen into the embrace with any of them. See, that's why it's a different dimension. It's the same spirit, but yet there is a falling into an embrace. I just got it from studying that word, and I love to study words. It means to fall into one's embrace. He had not yet fell into one's embrace with them. And so I just thought both of those words are interesting, because we think of the word receive as I'm just going to sit here and receive. No, receive in the Bible means to take by force, by faith. I mean, you can't get saved without faith. You take it by faith. Okay. Anyway, let's move to number five, roadblock number five. I'm not worthy to be filled with the Spirit. Well, I suffered with that one for a while myself in the early days before I was able to do that. See, sometimes as new Christians, we're kind of chicken-hearted about getting too close to God or to the things of God. I was. You know, I don't know if we'll get too... I mean, he burns people, you know, with fire if you get too close to him. If there's anything wrong with you, you're gone, smoking toast. So, smoking loafers, that's it right there. That's all that's left, smoking loafers. Anyway, see, as new believers, we sometimes have hang-ups. And we're thinking, oh man, I don't want God to see all these hang-ups I got. He knows about them already. It doesn't shock him a bit. Yeah. I think if we just get a little further along in our Christian walk, then maybe we'll feel a little worthier. Maybe I'll seek something like the gift of tongues, the filling of the Spirit. You know, there's a doctrine in a lot of churches. It's been around for a long, long time. And it kind of tends to lend to this. And it's called the saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost doctrine. The idea is that after you get saved, you need to go through a certain sanctifying process for a period of time. And then once you get worthy enough, God might fill you with His Spirit. There's two problems with that thinking. Number one, you'll never get worthy enough, no matter how hard you try. That's impossible. You're not going to do that. And secondly, you need God's help to become sanctified. You can't do it without Him. The Bible says that we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. So we need spiritual power to mortify the body. So now we're out here trying to do it in our own strength so that we can receive the Spirit. Exactly. None of it's by good works. Not any of it. Salvation, nothing from God is of good works. See that banquet table that we see. You know, He's invited a lot of people to the banquet. I see that banquet table as full of the promises of God. You can have them if you want them. He sent out and invited the whole earth. And a lot of people say, well, I'm kind of busy right now. I can't come. You know, this, that, and the other. A lot of them didn't even come. But when we show up, they're the promises of God. We take them by faith. We take them by faith. Anyway, I'm on another sidetrack, but anyhow. So, it's a good track, huh? Anyway, so the Bible says, now Mark 16, 17, the familiar scripture, 17 and 18 of Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So he said these signs would follow them that believe, not them that go through a sanctification course. Yeah. Some people say, well, they're speaking in new tongues just means they don't cuss or lie anymore. Well, that's easy to say. The only problem is the other four things he talks about are supernatural. You know, like laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, drinking something deadly and it not harm you, taking up serpents, which speaks of demonic powers, ruling over demonic powers. All that's supernatural. How could it slip in one thing non-supernatural? Oh, they'll stop lying. They'll stop cussing. He's talking about a supernatural speaking, supernatural language. Okay, so all these things are supernatural. So when he says, speak with new tongues, he's talking about a supernatural speaking. Notice the only requirement to receive these things was to be saved. He didn't say, these signs shall follow them that believe and are sufficiently sanctified. Amen. That's a doctrine of men. People want to earn this thing. You know, that guy Simon, he wanted to buy the ability to lay hands on people. I'm not going into that, praise God. Amen. But... remember the passage in Acts 8, it said the whole city got saved, and within days, the apostles came down to the city and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They did not go through a sanctification process. It was a matter of a few days. In 2002, I had this burden in my heart to have my grandson Christian, who was 10 years old at the time, come and live with us. And I probably told you this story before. I'm sure I have. But I went down to Alabama to pick him up. They worked out all the detail. He said, yeah, he'd come. He wanted to do that. And there was an 11-hour trip from Alabama back to Virginia. Well, Christian and I were getting a little more acquainted. We hadn't seen each other in several years. And we got to talking about the Bible and talking about salvation and, you know, belief in the Lord Jesus. And anyway, he gave his heart to the Lord right there. We prayed the sinner's prayer and he got excited. And we, you know, he said, I'm saved. Praise God. You know, he was happy. So we went through that and he got saved. And then on the other half of the trip, we talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. So within about an hour of talking about that, I prayed for him and he began to speak fluently in other tongues. I mean, just like somebody had been doing it for years. So don't tell me that children don't understand the things of God. I mean, it's not for adults, it's for children too. But I remember him saying, I can't believe it. I'm 10 years old and I know all this stuff. Man, this is amazing. But anyway, he didn't have to wait. Once he was born again, there was no waiting period. You know, tarry for a while. See, that's another thing, this idea of tarrying. Jesus told him to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Once the Holy Spirit came, they didn't need to tarry anymore. But there are people who have been tarrying for years when they can have the gift right now. But yet you're tarrying because you have some misunderstanding of the Scripture. Anyway, you can receive right now. All righty. Roadblock 6, not every believer is supposed to speak with tongues. This is a good one. This is a very powerful, strong roadblock to people. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29, it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues? There it is. Do all interpret? It says it right there, do all speak with tongues? The inferred answer is no. But in this section of Scripture, Paul is talking about the ministry gifts or those who are called of God to minister in public gatherings. He mentions apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, those who are especially gifted in healing. You see, all believers can lay hands on the sick, but not everybody's called to be a healer like Benny Hinn. There are special anointings for healing that come as the Spirit wills. You know, you can't turn it off and on, but God calls people to be especially gifted in those areas. The Bible says we may all prophesy, but we're not all prophets. Just because you can prophesy doesn't mean you're a prophet. Well, what he's talking about here, I'm just going to cut through all of this and just tell you that he's talking about the ministry gift of tongues and interpretation. Somebody says, well, you should never, ever speak in tongues in a meeting if there's not an interpreter. Well, what that's actually talking about is the ministry of the gift of tongues and interpretation. The ministry of tongues and interpretation. I was talking with Paula about this the other day. She said something I never heard before, and I said, well, I like that. She said, yeah, there's personal tongues and there's prophecy tongues. And I said, I never heard the term prophecy tongue. But that's really what tongues and interpretation is about. It's equivalent to prophecy. And if you've ever been in meetings where it happens, you know, there'll be a powerful time in the meeting and then things will go down and then suddenly out of the middle of the congregation, Yakama Hatarama, you know, somebody, it's like a trumpet. It'll come forth. And that's, you know, you don't want to put something out there and leave people confused. There has to be an interpretation. But if there's not a so-called interpreter, get one of the interpreters in here. How we need one of them interpreters. That's a Virginia word for interpreter. Interpretator is what we call it. See, I got a red hat that's got interpreter written on it. So you know that you can go ahead and feel free. But no, if a person is gifted enough and called of God and prompted of the Lord to give a tongue in a public meeting that everybody hears, that brings attention on themselves, then if there's nobody there who interprets it, they can interpret themselves. It's okay for them to do it. It's the equivalent of prophecy. It's tongues and interpretation. It's the Lord speaking to the congregation. And so it's different from personal tongues. You know, a lot of times we say in the meeting, could we all pray in the Spirit for a few moments and we all call them ICTN? We all begin to do that. Did we need an interpreter for that? Of course not. That's personal tongues as opposed to ministry tongues. And so I want to move past that because I don't want to get bogged down here. Do all speak with tongues? Not everybody speaks with tongues for interpretation. Some people are gifted in that area. Not everybody does it, though. Okay, I covered the thing about not speaking in tongues if there's not an interpreter. Okay. If God wants me to have it, He can give it to me. Didn't we cover that one already?
Yep.
Okay. We don't have to go through that one again. And the thing about John the Baptist, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Everything we get from God, we take it by faith. You can't be ho-hum about it. Oh, maybe if God wants, you know, if God wants to, I know He heals, but if He wants to heal me someday, I'll just, okay, I'm open to it. You won't get a thing. You know, what's some other things you might, I know God blesses people and, you know, I believe God wants us to prosper. If He ever wants to prosper me, you know, it's okay. How much do you think you're going to get out of that? No, you got to take it. I got to do what God says for me to prosper. I've got to take it by force, by faith, the force of faith. Okay, we're almost there then. And I'm going to give you a couple of erroneous thoughts about that. And then we're going to finish and go have lunch or whatever. Here's one error number one. Erroneous thought about speaking with tongues. The Holy Spirit will take over my tongue. See, when I was first seeking that experience, I'd sit alone in my car at lunchtime and say, Lord, I want that gift, speaking in tongues. I'm just going to sit here, Lord. Would you please just take over my tongue? And, you know, I sat and I'd wait. And nothing ever happened. And so I just closed my eyes and wait. I guess I was tarrying, you might say. But when I finally got the biblical truth on the subject, I immediately spoke out. I found out I was thinking wrong about that. Because in Acts 2:4, we read it already, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was probably the biggest hurdle I had to get over in the pursuit of that gift. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. They did the speaking. He gave the utterance. I had been asking the Holy Spirit to do what I was supposed to do. He was supposed to give the utterance. I was supposed to do the speaking. I was supposed to take a step of faith and speak it. I remember Jenny told me she had the same thing. She said she was laying on her bed in the bedroom, and these syllables were going around in her head. She walked out in the kitchen and said, maybe I'll just speak out these syllables. Shakata. She began to do it, and she'd been speaking in tongues ever since. But she was waiting for the Spirit to do it.
Yeah, I was the
same way. That's an erroneous thought. It really was. Most everybody goes through that. That was the biggest hurdle. And so I was supposed to take a step of faith. See, sometimes we have wrong thinking, and our wrong thinking stops us. Someone will pray, Holy Spirit, take me over and possess me. Anybody ever prayed that? Holy Spirit, would you take me over and possess me? He's not going to do it. He doesn't possess people. We yield to Him. He doesn't take people over. We may yield to Him to the point that it looks like He's taken us over, but it's still our yielding. Here's another misunderstanding, and we're about done with, I mean, we could go on and on, but we get too much stuff, too. Error number two, when I speak with tongues, I will understand what I'm saying. When I speak with tongues, I'll understand what I'm saying. I just knew that if I ever spoke with tongues, I'd know exactly, I'd hear directly from God, I would know exactly what was being said. Man, I'd be hooked up, man. And I was hooked up when I did it, but I still didn't understand what I was saying. But in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, divine secrets, revelations. In verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm praying. I'm praying to God in an unknown language, and I don't know what I'm saying to the Lord. So I don't have to understand.
Amen.
That's the thing about it, so we don't need to be concerned about that. You know, if you don't understand what you're saying in tongues, then is that necessary? Is it necessary? Well, it must be. God gave it to us. It must be necessary. It must be necessary, or God wouldn't bother giving us the gift. Why would He waste His time with something like that? Okay, now we're getting down to the nuts and bolts here, and then we're going to pray a couple of prayers and get on out of here. What is it like to speak with tongues? Okay, I'm going to let Josh teach this one. Pray God. Oh, no, I'm joking. Just joking, brother. What is? He's wiping the sweat off over there. What is it like to speak with tongues? I want to get a little more practical here. For anybody who might just be thinking, I'd like to have that gift. What's it like to speak with tongues? What's going on inside a person's head when they're praying in tongues? Knowing the answer to this question may just make all the difference. Here's what it's like. Now, just bear with me on this for a second. Don't jump up and run. Here's what it's like. Here's what's going on. So get ready. It's exactly like I'm thinking of a syllable and speaking it out. It's exactly like I'm thinking of a syllable and speaking it out. I think up a syllable and say it. I can do that. She. Oh, how about another? Ka. Re. How about another? Ma. So. T. You know, in other words, I can think up a syllable and say it. I know anybody in here can, whether you're born again or not. I mean, that's, anybody could do that. That's a natural thing. But yet, I can't say Kali Mosi Katabro Bese Koto Libanse. I can't think up syllables that fast. So there has to be more going on than me just thinking up syllables. But if I'm speaking in tongues very slowly, it's just like I'm thinking of a syllable and saying it. Think, say, think, say. Well, brother, isn't that you just thinking up stuff? I would have to agree with you if I couldn't do it real fast, beyond the ability of myself to think. See, I can think up a few syllables. Anybody could do that, but can you keep going? I remember Paula told me yesterday when I was talking with her that oftentimes I will tell people when they're trying to receive the gift of tongues, I just say, think of a syllable and say it. Go ahead. Okay. Shah. Think of another syllable and say it. See. Think of another syllable and say it. You know? And that's exactly what happened with Paula when she was many years younger than now. It was a few years ago. I was helping her with that, and I told her to think of a syllable say, and she kept doing it. I said, think of another one. Think of another. And next thing you know, she was just blah, 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 blah. I mean, just a matter of no time. Because, see, what happens is when you do that, he's going to give us the utterance, but where is it going to come? How are we going to get it? It has to be in our mind. It has to be, and it's not going to come out of thin air. It has to come up from our spirit into our mind. The way we get that is we reach down in there. Think of a syllable. Think of another syllable. Think of another syllable. You do that a few times. Now, remember, the criteria is being born again. If you're not born again, this won't work for you. So it says, these signs follow them that believe, they shall speak with new tongues. But that's how you step over into that. That's the step of faith you have to take, is to think it and say it, think it and say it. So, let me see if there's anything else here we need to say about that. Yeah. Let's see, I'm going to say it again. If I speak with tongues slowly, it's just exactly as if I'm merely thinking up a syllable and speaking it. That's what it feels like. But that's not what I'm doing. That's what it feels like. What does it feel like? What's going on inside of somebody's head who's speaking in tongues? And by the way, you know, I always say, here's another error. I thought you had to have some emotional experience. And I've seen people speak in tongues. They have to go, I'm going to cry. And see, I mean, I'm not saying it's not real. It may be real for them, and it may be a stronger something. But you don't have to have, I didn't have to have an emotional experience to get born again. I was perfectly calm. I had no emotions at all. I just told the pastor I wanted to accept Christ. I always thought I had to break down and cry to do that, but that's not true. See, that's things we think about things. Okay, so then, is anybody totally confused yet, or do we need to... Praise God, praise God. So, I just wanted to share those things with you. And what I'd like to do, now, we're not going to lay hands on anybody and gather around them and tell them to lift their hands, let their hands down, you know, hold on, let go, none of that, because I know that's confusing. But what I would like to do, especially for the sake of the recorded media, is, and I wish everybody was in here, but anyhow, I want to lead us in a couple of simple prayers. The first prayer is a prayer of salvation. And the second prayer is a prayer for the gift of tongues, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't want to presume that everybody in here is saved or born again. Because you may think you are and not be. I don't know. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your relationship with God is. And for the sake of those who want to listen later, I'm going to do this again. Some music. We're going to pray a prayer of salvation. We want to make sure everybody knows the Lord. And so if anybody's listening to this recorded message, we want to make sure they know the Lord also. So everybody just repeat this after me. Father in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son. I come to you as a sinner, seeking forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died to pay the price for my sins. I believe that you raised him from the dead to give me newness of life, to raise me up from death in trespass and sin. Father, I receive your forgiveness for all my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Live in my heart. I make you my Savior. I make you my Lord. I will follow you. I will live my life for you. From this day forth, all that I am, Lord, is yours. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer and you didn't know the Lord before, you should now. I mean, the thing is, you have eternal life. And we just say, welcome to the kingdom. Amen. So now we're going to I'm going to pray this prayer. And we're going to pray this prayer together. Let's just do this one together also. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your word says that you will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so, Father, I ask you to give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Jesus is my Lord. And I thank you that your Spirit dwells in me. And now I fully expect to speak with other tongues as your Spirit gives me the utterance. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, those of you who speak with tongues, I'd like you to just do it, you know, quietly, not really strong and boisterous, but just let's all pray in the Spirit together. Could we do that? Shekami endebro besemondo lestiando debro sete ondo debro siha. And those of you who haven't received, right now in your own personal space, just begin to think of a syllable and say it. Think of a syllable and speak it out. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. By the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for those right now. Kete mondo libeso kete de brosita. Le mashimondo le bandeso kete lubo shikie broveste. Keep praying in tongues for a minute. Shelamiendo de brovese coto le banda, selemondo diesando de brosi calimendo le banche. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shelamiende de beso kete lobo shibande brovestanyandi de so kete de. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. so kind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lemo limanda, lema siendo brebe suye mundo libande. Hallelujah. Just speak those words out. Just speak the first word out that comes to your mind. Speak it out. She la mika seta. Deba limon. Take the step of faith. They spake. They spake as the Spirit gave the utterance. Step out. La bashande debo seta ya brobeste mundo leba si. Le bali meonde debro bese koto le bandali mendu shiva. Amen. Amen. What's that? Okay, amen, amen, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over any doubt in the hearts and minds of the people. We take authority over any doubt in the hearts and the minds of the people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All doubt be removed in Jesus' name from every heart. All doubt and fear be removed from every heart in Jesus' name. That's right. Any thoughts of feeling foolish, praise God. Any thoughts of feeling foolish, be gone. You know, you're not going to be foolish among us. We're already foolish. It doesn't matter. You're not going to shock us with your foolishness. Shebali mesoka. Yes. So I say something. Amen.